your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Good day, and welcome to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence, with Reiki Master and host, Phyllis Lee Forimoto, as she shares with you inspiring stories along with her practical wisdom for finding balance with spirit in everyday life. Now, here's your host, Phyllis Forimoto.
Hello, this is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. In the last few interviews, since the beginning of the year, I've come into a place of wanting to speak and talk about spiritual practice as it relates to the practice of Reiki. And over the last few interviews, this discussion has taken on many different forms and placements and has brought up some really great questions for people. So I'm taking today to talk to you a bit about a summary for myself, and also if you have questions and you want to call in with questions or sharings about your spiritual practice and Reiki and how that connects, that would be great. Spiritual practice. Well, when I first started this series, I thought that spiritual practice was really talking about like a religion or a way of being that really encompassed the whole of the way that I live my life or the way that someone else lives their lives. We might call that cosmology. This is an English term that means how the world is put together. And one of the things that was very interesting for me is just to talk to these people from around the world and find out from their own perspective where spirituality comes from. And I think for the most part, we all have come to the place, especially because we practice Reiki, that we are a human being, a physical body, definitely physical characteristics, and there is another part of us we might generally call spirit. This part of us, called spirit, also needs nourishment. Like we drink water, we breathe air, and we eat food in order to nourish our physical body. And there is a connection to our spiritual body that also needs nourishment, not just the connection, but the actual feeding of our spirit. And how do we go about doing that? And what a lot of the people who were on the interviews pointed out is that that's what spiritual practice is. Spiritual practice is not a cosmology as much as it is the actual practice that brings us or nourishes our spirit. So, for instance, spiritual practice can be prayer. Spiritual practice might be for you your self-treatment, sending distant treatments to the ones that you love when they're in need, sitting on a hill and enjoying nature and singing. Spiritual practice can be appreciating living every living thing around us and making sure that our, as they say now, carbon footprint on this planet is as small as possible. That also is could be a spiritual practice. Spiritual practice can be the way that we think, and as Rosemary Goto pointed out in the last interview from last week, that spiritual practice for her is really something that separates her from her everyday life, and what she would rather say is that her spirit is nourished by simply living mindfully, that being in Reiki allows her to be mindful and therefore doesn't need a spiritual practice, but her whole life becomes spiritual practice. So that's an interesting, so it sounds like a contradiction, but it may not be. And this is a part of the concept of Reiki that I really love. And what I mean by Reiki is the practice of Reiki. Is this place for me of coming against, in my mind, something that looks like a conflict? For instance, we'll take what I call a very simple one. When I teach a class and when first-degree students learn, and I did from my own teacher, Hawaii Otakata, she taught hand positions that we use in order to treat the body, our body and self-treatment and other people. And she was very clear about hand positions, and they, even though she would say, and Reiki will go where it's needed, she was very emphatic about how we placed our hands and the pressure and so on. So I was very adamant about this when I was when I taught first and second degree classes, and I still am. And in the same tone of voice, I can say in my classes, and Reiki will go where it's needed. When you start the treatment, Reiki may guide your hands to doing something else. Then we come back to our regular hand positions. And this seems like a contradiction. But what it is for me is really being able to see two different perspectives at the same time. That happens when I treat myself. I'm not only the person being treated, but I am the treater. So I have these two different perspectives going on in my mind and in my own experience. So I put my hands on my, for instance, maybe my chest. I feel a lot of energy there. And I think, wonder what that's about. And I can say that from the person being treated perspective, or I can say that from the treater's perspective. And often these answers are different. So that can be confusing, but what's important for me is that in the end, what happens is that as we have these dual, if I may call them, experiences, it allows our mind to enlarge so that we are not so, as we might call it, one-minded or one-pointed. We are able to see different perspectives of the same situation. So spiritual practice, for me, when we talk about these things that we do in our daily lives that are called spiritual practices, we can become so much of that practice that we actually, our whole life becomes spiritual practice, and then there is no division. And perhaps this is a part of the end result, if we may call it that. Because somebody also wrote in to me today, actually, and said, well, you know, if Reiki is a spiritual practice, and or it's, we might say it's made up of spiritual practices, and it may be a person's spiritual path, then if it is, where does this path lead us? Well, we'll take that up later. One of the things that I've come to in my own deliberation over the last few weeks is to say that spiritual practice is an individual is a ritual that individuals use to connect and nourish their spirit. And these spiritual practices can become a way of thinking. It can become an actual action of our physical being. It can become something that we do in order to strengthen our connection to our spiritual part of ourselves. So one of the things about Reiki is that, for me, the question, is Reiki a spiritual practice? I would say definitely yes. Because, for me, when I put my hands on myself, it nourishes that part of me, the spirit. It nourishes the connection that I have with that part of me, that spirit. It nourishes the place in me that connects my physical being on this planet and in my life with my family and friends to the spirit of that relationship and to the spirit of my relationship with all that is. In that bridging between the physical and the spiritual part of myself, there comes a huge gift, which is that in my physical life, spirit becomes more evident. I make decisions in a different way. They're not so linear. They're not so reasonable sometimes. They're not so, if I may say, selfish sometimes, because I see the other person's perspective in a different way. It doesn't become a competition. It becomes, how can I provide an environment that creates a win-win situation for everyone, that nourishes everyone in this situation? And with these kinds of decisions, we take, or I take, a next step deeper and deeper into this really beautiful place of integrating my physical reality and my spiritual beingness. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. We'll be back after the break.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Tune into Inner Speak Soul Adventures Talk Radio Show every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 Eastern, and learn how to let go of your past and create the reality you desire and deserve, allowing your inner communication to take place more easily without the interference of our noisy mind chatter or your ego. Inner Speak Soul Adventures with Gene Adrian, right here on the 7th Wave Network.
Create a life with growth, balance, abundant peace of mind, and joy. Tune in and call into Spirits Evolving with pragmatic psychic and certified hypnotherapist, Lee Channing. By using the simple tools for growth offered by Lee, including intuition, color awareness, creative visualization, and more, build a stronger understanding of your own energy and offer clear, unencumbered energy to those with whom you share your life. Whether for an individual or a business, home environment, or your office, Lee evaluates and interacts with the energy at hand, providing an analysis of the problem and a description of the options available to move forward successfully and with grace. Spirits Evolving with Lee Channing, broadcast each Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the 7th Wave Network, your online community for positive change. Spirits Evolving, your guide toward a life filled with more balance, intention, and contentment.
Hey, how you doing? Educational videos, top quality, right here.
You'll never hear anyone selling education on the street. But with free family learning programs, you can get the education you need. Call 1-877-FAMLIT1 for information on free learning programs. 1-877-FAMLIT1.
Check it out. Win your GED right here, guaranteed, ma. Come on, check it out.
Free family learning programs from the National Center for Family Literacy. Brought to you by the National Center for Family Literacy and the Ad Council.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Today, I'm doing the show by myself. This is a bit of a summary of the last 3 months of shows with the theme of, is Reiki a spiritual practice? So, in the first segment of the show, I have come to my own realization that, yes, Reiki is a spiritual practice, but actually not quite in the way that I had imagined or held it when I first started the shows in January. So I'd like to just talk to you a little bit about my own experience. When I took Reiki, which was in 1979, or at least when I attended my first class of Reiki, I was on a trip with my grandmother, Hawaii Takata. And before this, when I was a child, I was initiated in Reiki and was asked to give my grandmother treatments as a part of my sort of granddaughter-grandmother relationship. It wasn't really said as a practice of any kind. It was just something that I did, kind of like sweeping the floor or doing her dishes. And in 1979, I was asked to go on a trip with her, which was ended up to be a teaching trip, and the first stop was Puerto Rico. So as I started to listen to her teaching classes and so on, I realized that this was much more than I had anticipated. And her thrust in her classes was really to talk about the physical attributes and understandings about Reiki. So Reiki came off in the very beginning as sort of a healing technique, but not just, and I use the word technique because for me this indicates something like that, something that you do and then you have an end result. And as she would say, it's very scientific. You do something, it has a result, and you can anticipate the result. But what I found out actually in as I started my practice is that the results could be on any level. It could be an emotional opening. It could be a new idea or a relief of mental stress. It could be a spiritual opening. Many of my students who were involved in searching for a reason, for instance, for the Vietnam War and the whole post-war syndrome after that, were really angry with God and angry with their existence on the planet and were really questioning this entity that we called God back then and searching for a way to relate to this creator or creative essence in our human lives. So I saw that Reiki brought up all these different parts of our humanness and things that I couldn't categorize, really, but I knew that they were normal, as we would say. So I went along with this for many, many years in my Reiki practice, this kind of theme of Reiki being a spirit, a healing technique and maybe a healing practice. Because it was seemed to be all-inclusive. And then along with that, I kept wanting to find a meditation teacher or a religious practice that really spoke to me that would give me a guidance and understanding of my spiritual part of my life, which I realized in hindsight was being opened up by my practice of Reiki. And so I searched, and I thought maybe the Dalai Lama was going to be my spiritual teacher, or I thought that I would study Sufism, or I thought that I might go to the kind of Japanese Buddhism that my grandmother had been a part of when she was alive. So it was just a very interesting search for me. And finally, I was having this conversation in about 1991 or 92 with a dear friend of mine who lived in Santa Fe, where I was living at the time. And he said, well, I don't know what you're doing. You have your own spiritual practice. It's Reiki. And I said, well, you know, I don't really think this is a spiritual practice. Like, how did this happen, that it became a spiritual practice? And he said, well, I watch you. I see what it's done in your life over the last 10 years since I've known you. And I've seen what it's doing to me and with all of the people that you've initiated that I know. And he had met many, many of them. And I thought to myself, well, I don't know. My grandmother never talked about this. I don't really think that this is true. So I had a year or a year and a half of some very intense discussions with John and also with many of my other Reiki colleagues. And it turned out that their stories of this kind of what they would call spiritual opening was very common. And then I kept remembering my students in the first degree initiation would come out of the initiation room and say, you know, this is like coming home somehow. Or this is, I found something inside of me that I didn't even know I had lost. And for me, they really felt as though they were speaking about something that I would have languaged as being reconnected to their spirituality again. It certainly was true for me, although it took me many years to figure this out. So finally, in 1993, I realized that John was right, and that what I needed to do was then be conscious that this was a spiritual practice. And I struggled with that over the last years because, you know, people said, well, if it's a spiritual practice, then it needs to have, you know, rule, you know, a kind of dogma, like it needs to have cosmology, like what happens to with a human being, where did the human being come from. You know, in the Bible you have the creation story, and this is the part of the cosmology of Christianity. And there are other cosmologies depending on what religious practice or spiritual practice you have. The native populations all have a creation story and all have a cosmology of their own. This cosmology creates a context in which all of our human experiences are placed and make sense, even the ones that seem very extraordinary. For instance, if somebody seems to be really mentally ill, out of their body, we might call them schizophrenic these days. The cosmologies of these different spiritual practices or indigenous life practices also held these unusual circumstances and explained them and created a way for them to become whole again. These cosmologies are very important when we speak about spiritual practice in the sense of a huge umbrella kind of philosophy that we can hold, in which we can hold our life events. And where I am with this question is, does Reiki have a cosmology? Does Reiki have a creation story? Well, in some respect, no. And then I had to wrestle with this question, well, then, is Reiki a spiritual practice? Or is it something that's different? Is there some other category we can put the practice of Reiki into? And this is the place that is really the unknown for me. I feel that this practice of Reiki is very young. It's only a little over 100 years old, and it's come down through about four generations of practitioners, and this isn't just about my own lineage. This is about looking at my grandmother, myself as one generation, my grandmother as the next generation, her teacher as her generation, and then the teacher before her. So, you know, we have, just age-wise, I think a generation is 25 years, so we have like four generations of Reiki students to look at and to create and understand what the cosmology is. So the question for me then is, where do these cosmologies come from, and are they created in order to explain what happened, or is it a discovery as people began to pay attention to a certain kind of practice? So it's a very interesting proposition, and I know that it creates a lot of questions inside of me. And I hope it creates questions inside of you, because I feel like this is really a benefit for this particular spiritual understanding. So to get back to my story, when I really understood that this was for me my spiritual practice, then people, and I would share that with people, people would ask me, well, does this have to be my spiritual practice? And I said, no, you know, for me, Reiki is whatever is applicable in your life at this moment. For me, this has become my spiritual practice. It's how I fit and explain all of what happens to me in my life. It allows me to create a context in which to live, and in the decisions that I make, from which gas station do I go and buy my gas from, to how do I treat my friends and family. So there is this huge range of understandings that have unlimited amount of expression. I want to just stop and come back after the station break. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Hello, we're Mike and Susan.
Hello, I'm Catherine.
We are the March of Dimes 2008 National Ambassador Family. Although Catherine was born extremely premature with many challenges, today she is a healthy 5-year-old thanks to the March of Dimes.
I'm Don Germano, Senior Vice President of Kmart Stores. Kmart is proud to support March of Dimes' mission to help moms have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Please make a donation at any Kmart or at marchforbabies.org so that one day all babies are born healthy.
Kerry O'Connor has a powerful and extraordinary connection with spirit. This connection has honed and perfected her astounding clairvoyant abilities. Kerry can energetically view your personal life history, observe your true inner processes, and help attune and direct your soul's purpose. Kerry's dedicated mission is to remind you of your divine heritage, to help you step out of your stories and step into your power. Tune in to the Kerry O'Connor Show every Thursday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific on the Seventh Wave Network.
I can take care of myself. I can make a peanut butter sandwich. I can brush my teeth and I can give myself a bath. I can walk home alone from school. I can pick dinner from the trash behind the deli. I can watch the baby for the whole weekend. I can keep a baseball bat by my bed just in case there's trouble. Don't worry about me. I can take care of myself.
If you're in jail, who'll be there to take care of your family? Something to think about before committing a gun crime. Gun crimes hit home. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. In this part of the show, I'd like to take the next step, which is to speak about a couple of terms that were used also in the last weeks. One was spiritual path and one was spiritual journey. This is an interesting process, this definition of these kinds of terms, because I hear for everyone that the definition of spiritual practice, the understanding of spiritual path, the understanding of spiritual journey is really, really individual. And I feel, you know, one of the great things about this practice of Reiki is that we all get to have our own individual understandings. Now, it's nice if we agree, but it's not necessary, because for me, the very essence of Reiki puts me, as a human being, back into my placement in the greater scheme of things. So I'm not a human being that's going to define these terms for all humanity or for all of Reiki or for all of my practice. I only can define it for myself. And one of the things that I loved about these interviews was that they gave me these wonderful vignettes that I could go, oh, I can really relate to that. Oh, no, this just is, I don't understand this at all, or this isn't really how I see it at all. But when I have these responses, then I can go back and maybe enlarge my own scope of vision. So when I talked about spiritual path with people and they spoke about their own spiritual life, is was another expression that was used, I realized that, you know, in our placement in the natural world, we are one species, and I am one very small, I am one example of that species. And the very interesting thing for me is that I can be totally independent on some level of my, with my own identification of what my spiritual life is like. And I have a lot of echoes, or resonant, people who are resonant with me, who have the same kind of feelings or understandings, because as human beings, I feel like we have very similar experiences throughout our life and very different ways of expressing them. So a spiritual path for me is a natural thing. I feel that every human being has their life, if we might call it, given to them. This isn't about predestination. It's just about, well, who are your parents? How were you born? At what time were you born? I mean, this came out a lot in some of the interviews. For instance, Jean Ferris said that her being born a twin was one of the most profound, was the most profound experience of her life, and she entered the world definitely asking profound spiritual questions because she was a twin. And that the life that they led as twins created a milieu in which these questions were brought to the foreground constantly. Raj Elsinger was born in the Depression, and his questions about, you know, why is it like this, led him to a life of searching and being on the path, being on the spiritual journey that has led him hither and yon in his life. So for me, the, you know, like to go back to our origins and of this particular life on the planet, and to see, well, what is it that allowed me to have the life that I do and to have the relationship that I do with my spirit? So I look at myself and I think, wow, you know, I was born in this family where my grandmother was this woman who went to Japan, found Reiki through her own need for Reiki, and then was able to bring it to Hawaii, spend her adult life basically teaching and living this Reiki practice. And then eventually, when I was 30, I just asked the question, what am I going to do with my life? I want to do something. And the answer was, I want to do something with human beings. I want to celebrate individuality. I want to be there to support people in their work. And, of course, this was total projection because I needed this myself. I needed a way of working on myself. So, you know, a few months later, my mother calls and says, you're going to go on this teaching trip with your grandmother, and I didn't really know about that, and I spent about 4 months hemming and hawing, and then eventually went, and it changed my life totally. I came into Reiki, and without understanding it, started my spiritual path for real. Before this, my mother called me a lost soul, and I really understood that after about 10 years of being in the Reiki practice, because I realized that back before I was 30, I had these flashes, you know, kind of accidents almost, of spiritual connection. Sometimes when I sang in the church, or sometimes when I had an experience of oneness, I would just come alive, and then it would go away, a little bit like a pilot light on a gas stove where, you know, it's always there, and then, you know, by chance somebody turns you on and then turns you back off again, and the pilot light is still there. That's your spirit, but how does it get nourished? So for me, what happens with Reiki and our practice with Reiki is that it allows the spiritual part of ourselves to be nourished and to grow in our awareness, so that it's not just a physical evolution or a physical life that we lead on this planet, but it's an integrated life where spirit and our physical beingness are expressed together. And one of the questions that was asked over the email was, you know, where are we going? What is the end of our journey here? If we're on a spiritual journey or we're on a spiritual path, is there a goal? And, you know, all these wise people have always said that there are no goals. It's the journey that counts. And I, for the most part, really believe in that. And, you know, when I think about this as being a healing art, and I think about my own definition of healing, healing for me is about balancing all of the different parts of myself so that I run smoothly, as it were. It's not that things don't happen to me that I could call uncomfortable or, wow, that was weird, or that's bad news, but that it's about how I respond to those times, and at the same time, how I can also respond to those times of how everything is going great and euphoria, and do I just lose myself in that particular emotion or event. So Reiki gives me a way to be in balance, and you know as well as I do, if you've ever tried to balance on what we call in the United States a teeter-totter, which is a board that is balanced on a fulcrum, and if you're on one end, it bunk, you know, that end is down on the ground and the other end flies up. And I feel that our life in our balancing is like a walk on this teeter-totter. You know, sometimes we get really out of balance, and it's not about eliminating, you know, that connection that we have that's grounding us, so to speak, and becoming immovable, but it's our willingness to balance that experience with other experiences that are more on the end, that is up off the ground. So we walk until we come to the balance point of this fulcrum. And, you know, is this something that we are looking toward as a goal? Well, for me, it's something that isn't just a mental goal. This is something that our bodies want, and perhaps I should say our beings want, which takes into our spiritual part of ourselves, that our beings really want to be balanced, and they seek that balance. So, you know, if your life is going great and the only thing that is out of kilter right now is you have this really terrible relationship with one of your parents, you know, you just want to cut that relationship off so that the rest of your life can just remain in balance. But what's true is that if all the rest of your life is in balance, then those parts of our lives that are not in balance arise and come to the foreground to be resolved. And this, for me, is one of our most potent lessons in Reiki. It's like this particular practice for me always brings out my next step, whether I like it or not. And I have the choice to address that next step in any way I wish. I can avoid it. I can put it off. I can procrastinate, for instance, is a nicer word for saying putting off. I can dive right into it. Sometimes that's not the best way to approach a situation. Or I can take the clues and the signs that my life is giving me and say, well, you know, this is what I'm working on, but I think that I'll do it through getting more body work or having a series of Reiki treatments and finding out what really is at the source of my discomfort with this person. Because for me, the place that happens, that balance comes from in our life, is about acceptance. Acceptance is a really huge part of balance. And, you know, in our spiritual path, there are so many puzzles, so many huge question marks, like, how does one person's life get cut short, what we might call get cut short, and they seem to have lived an exemplary life, and the person that we feel like is maybe the personification of evil in our lives lives a whole and healthy life till they're 90. I mean, how does this happen? And these are the most provocative questions, and they're great. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Awakened Media for a Transforming World. Seventh Wave Network.
Carrie O'Connor has a powerful and extraordinary connection with spirit. This connection has honed and perfected her astounding clairvoyant abilities. Carrie can energetically view your personal life history, observe your true inner processes, and help attune and direct your soul's purpose. Carrie's dedicated mission is to remind you of your divine heritage, to help you step out of your stories and step into your power. Tune in to the Carrie O'Connor Show every Thursday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific on the Seventh Wave Network.
The Waking Dream is a wake-up call to those who are finally ready to change the direction of their lives and the quality of their experiences. Join host Barbara Emrys every Tuesday evening at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern, for your wake-up call. That's The Waking Dream on the Seventh Wave Network.
Once upon a time, there lived three energy hogs. Now, an energy hog is what you have when humans waste energy. One day, the three energy hogs set out to find themselves a cottage.
Let's look for leaky windows,
said the first energy hog, for he knew that would waste energy.
Let's look for leaky doors,
said the second.
Let's look for a swing set,
said the third, for he had more blubber than brains. So they set off down the road. Presently, they came upon a tiny cottage where dwelt a clever girl named Dreadylocks.
I hope it has leaky windows,
cried the first energy hog.
I hope it has leaky doors,
cried the second.
I hope it has a bathroom,
cried the third, for only his brains were smaller than his bladder. But Dreadylocks liked playing cool games at energyhog.org, and from energyhog.org she learned how to use energy wisely. So the three energy hogs were forced to look elsewhere to waste energy, and had to use the disgusting restroom at the gas station down the road. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org or waste not, hog not.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. So we were talking about, do we have a goal? And if Well, in my own case, I feel that my goal is to become in balance with myself. And this is what I mean by healing. So there's a balance in myself. It means that I'm leading a healthy, happy life, and I feel myself at one. And if I'm at one in myself, then I can also be at one with everything else that's going on. It doesn't mean that I don't have these very provocative questions that will come up. A listener has asked, where do you think Reiki is taking everyone, and what part do the precepts play in the path? Well, in my form of Reiki, in my system, we have five precepts, which are rules of living. And these are, just for today, do not worry. Just for today, do not anger. Honor your parents, teachers, and elders. Earn your living honestly. Show gratitude for every living thing. And these five precepts are many, many things. Again, you have to be able to look at them from different perspectives. At one, they are a kind of rules for living, like using them as a still point so that, you know, when you find yourself becoming angry every day in your work, well, there's something for you to look at in this particular situation that allows you to change that experience and not to put it out on other people, but to understand how this could change from within you. One of the things that I have noticed is that as I have moved through my own practice over the years, they not only were rules, but they also became guidelines. For instance, I would think, well, if I do this one thing, how will this affect my neighbor? How will this affect the person that I'm in relationship with? How will this affect the rest of my life? And, you know, in looking at the future, not to protect myself, but to understand the consequences of my action, this allows me to earn my living honestly. You know, if I do a little bit of a thing here to kind of save a little money here or to make it look good over here, but, you know, a few years down the road, something happens and that little edge is blown up out of proportion, then I haven't really been thoughtful about, you know, consequences. And consequences are not punishments. They're just a matter of fact, how things work in nature. So the precepts for me also can be inspirational. It's like these are inspired gifts that are given to me that allow these provocative questions to come up, like honor my parents, teachers, and elders. Well, what if my parents do something I don't like? How can I be inspired to honor them? And inspiration for me comes and doesn't eliminate coming to resolution in some of the emotional entanglements that can happen, but it does allow me to see a spiritual perspective of the situation that allows forgiveness, compassion, understanding, and it does not mean that it also gives me agreement. That's the place where this is really an interesting lesson in holding all these different perspectives. And being able to do that allows us to be in balance. So for me, you know, the whole process of practicing Reiki has to do with healing, but healing on a much broader scope than the broken arm or the broken heart or relieving pain. Those are symptoms that allow us to see, oh, Reiki's working, which is great. And it's wonderful because we all need these kind of little reassurances. But there's something that will happen at the end of our lives, at the end of our physical lives, that will allow us, I believe, a peaceful death, a death that is welcomed, is honored, and is stepped into with dignity and understanding. So this is where this is my particular goal, if I could call it a goal, or a destination. And for me, of course, I believe that I have had several destinations, if I may say this in this way. So I can only see to the end of this lifetime, and that's my destination. And my understanding of myself and of my spirit is that, you know, there's another destination coming. But I can't go that far. I can only go as far as I can imagine. So this is where I am right now. And I really encourage you and invite you to sit with this and think for yourself and find a response to this question. Well, you know, where do you think Reiki is taking you, and what is your goal, and how can you contribute to achieving that goal, and what is the placement of the precepts in this part of our spiritual practice? And I think these are becoming more and more important to me the longer that I practice Reiki. So these are some of my musings and my questions and my summary of these last interviews about Reiki as a spiritual path. And, you know, we as human beings are so interesting. We have the capacity to ask questions. And some wise person once said, well, you know, we can ask as many questions as we want to. There are a lot of questions, maybe an endless number of questions, and there is only a few answers, and one of the answers is love. And I would say that that was true in my book, that a lot of times the answer to all these questions is about love and the quality of love that I can connect to inside of myself, and in that connection can extend to others as well as myself. Reiki allows me to do that. Is that another goal? Is that another way to express a destination? Perhaps. I leave it to you to find out what your destination is. I'd like to just switch gears a little bit now and just introduce the next few programs that we're going to have. I'm switching to a topic called specific application of treatment of Reiki. And there are many people who have started wonderful programs and have very specific people or things that they practice Reiki on. And that's going to be the interviews that will follow. So have a wonderful time in assessing your own responses to where is your spiritual path taking you, and what role does Reiki have in this? This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's episode of Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Be sure to tune in every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Seventh Wave Network and discover how you can find balance from within.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.